on ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania. This is Mornings with Leon Compton.
Do you remember learning to drive, what the process was like? Do you remember who taught you? Do you remember how well it prepared you for the reality of driving a car? There's been a noticeable and troubling increase in deaths and injuries on Tasmania's roads this year. We thought we'd have a weekly discussion for this month about road safety and pick a different aspect each Tuesday at around this time. Last week, it was older drivers and the challenges there for you if you're an older driver. Today, we thought we'd shift the focus to younger drivers. And Alan Rourke has been our guide to all of this. He's a driving instructor and he joins us this morning. Alan, good morning to you.
G'day, Leon. How are you? Yes, we're going from one end of the age spectrum to the other.
Do you remember who taught you to drive, Alan?
Yes, my mum and dad, and also some professional driving lessons, and I got a lot out of those professional driving lessons because mum and dad, whilst I thought they were good drivers, once I actually learnt with a professional driving trainer, I realised that they weren't as good as I thought.
Indeed. I mean, they're really teaching you to drive almost as they would drive, maybe a little more conservatively, but not necessarily in ways that are going to help you pass your test or with good habits for a lifetime, Alan.
Oh, exactly right, because so many of our parents that are teaching people to drive learnt with hands at 10 and 2. It's changed to 9 and 3. There's lots of other changes that have happened throughout, you know, the time that somebody got their licence to the time they teach a child to drive. One of the interesting things, I read a Canadian report a while back, that psychologists can actually ascertain what type of driver someone will be by about the age of 5 or 6.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, at that age of, you know, 18 months to 2-3 years, children are sponges. They absorb everything. So if you've got bad driving habits from the get-go, they're already being absorbed into, you know, a potential young driver. And the riskiest time of any driver's driving career is that first year of driving solo when you're on your P's.
Right. Let's just then go right back. And I must be honest, I think about how I drive and the influence it's having on very young children in the car. What advice do you have for modelling good behaviour to kids as they're coming up from going from, you know, the child, you know, the full safety seat to the booster seat, and then to start to pay more attention to what's happening on the road?
It's interesting. A lot of children do learn so much, you know, when they're in that child seat. You know, they might not be verbally acknowledging it, but they're taking it in. They're like little sponges. They take in all your good habits, all your bad habits. So if you've got children in the car, make sure you have good habits. You've got a minimum 3-second gap. One of our big things we talk about here in Tassie is tailgating. We've mentioned it on several occasions. Too many people are in a hurry. They want to get there sooner, and they think, if I'm a second closer to the car in front, I'll get there sooner. 1 second's not a big chunk out of your life, is it?
But here's a question. Like, they're quite a few years old now, and I'm not sure they've got all the airbags you need. If you could swap the really strong, rigid Saab frame for all the airbags on something a bit tinnier, what would be the smartest thing to choose? 1-300-222-936 if you'd like to help on that. Young people and driving. Young people want to socialise and party without adequate public transport at needed hours. Kids can take unacceptable risks, says Troy in Campania this morning. Thank you for the text, Troy. 0438-922-936 if you'd like to send in yours. Alan Rourke, driving instructor, is our guest this morning. Alan, interesting question. Because, as you say, first year of driving, greater risk of crashes. It's quite likely that the child in your family, or the, you know, the teenager, will be in the worst car in the house. Should we be thinking differently about who gets the good car?
Oh, definitely. I was speaking to someone who's in the car industry recently, and they said one of the things that they often offer is a safety upgrade or a mag wheel and you know, fancy stripe upgrade. And everyone always wants to go for the mag wheels and the fancy pinstripes rather than the safety upgrade. So we tend to always think that, you know, we're good drivers, we'll be fine. But sadly, that's not always the case. And interestingly, 80% of people on their P-plates, when surveyed anonymously, said they had engaged in risky behaviour. That includes things like driving at night, driving under the influence, speeding, driving while tired, carrying multiple peer passengers, and that's changing from December.
Well, indeed. And so the government's got a new plan in place that'll limit the number of people of your peer group that you can actually have in the vehicle while you're on your P's. I mean, how important do you think that will be in reducing the number of serious crashes?
I think that's certainly a step in the right direction. You know, there are some exemptions, like obviously for employment or essential activities or special family circumstances, but peer pressure has long been a major contributor to road crashes, and certainly not a good one.
Alan, if I gave you a choice of the Saab or a modern car that was much lighter, had a much less rigid frame, but also had what the standard now is 6 airbags, I think. So you've got front driver, front passenger, side airbags for front, yep, and side airbags for rear. That's pretty much the standard now. New cars are having knee protection for driver as well. Which would you choose, the Saab or the airbags?
I'd certainly go for the one with the airbags. And also, so while we look at some of these modern cars and we say they're a bit tinny and fall apart, they're designed to do that. So it's energy absorption in the face of a crash. And interestingly, the new Volvo, in the doing some research into front-on collisions, the engine will actually split in two and wrap around where the wheels are as part of the energy absorption, and the transmission goes underneath the floor pan. And that's something that they're working on currently.
Wow. Yeah, it is interesting looking at the way those safety systems now work. One of the other issues that people might not appreciate is what was a 5-star rated car for safety 8 years ago is not a 5-star safety rated car in 2020. The standards change, so the 5 stars actually mean something different year after year, don't they?
They certainly do. I'm not a big fan of the 5-star process. I'd much prefer to see a percentage so that you could say, okay, 10% are allocated to suspension, 10% to steering, etc., 10% to these safety features. And then you could analyse, you know, how the car performs in various areas. Where 5-star, 4-star, it's quite a broad brush, but it's what we've got, and it certainly does work.
So
I think it could be improved on.
Given that most people learn to drive, and it's really expensive to learn to drive with driving instructors, normally they augment the learning to drive process rather than sort of fill the whole thing.
Yes.
What advice do you have for parents that are teaching their children to drive?
Well, we've spoken briefly about the Swedish model, where if you're going to do a driving test, both parent and learner driver must go along and do a course together, so that they're all on the same page. And I think that's not a bad idea. You can never have too much education. One of the things that we recently found at a defensive driving course was a gentleman said, look, I've been driving 40 years. I shouldn't be here. I'm too busy at work. And at the end of the day, he went, wow, everybody should do this. I learnt so much. You know, it's a case of there's a lot of things out there that we don't necessarily know about driving.
So as a parent, you could sit in the back of a car while your child was getting a driving lesson just to see what the experience was looked like and the sort of stuff being covered. The driving instructors would let you do that?
I think it would vary on the driving school. There's a lot of great driving instructors out there that teach people how to drive, and they do a wonderful job. One of the things that I'm a little bit disappointed in is when we do the testing, we don't actually include any open road stuff. So we're testing people around town at 60 kilometres an hour and hoping that they'll be fine when they get out into the drive, you know, onto the major roads where the speed limit is a lot higher. We don't actually look at the way they drive on gravel, etc. And then we teach, or we tell young people to drive to the conditions, but we don't actually tell them what that actually means. And I often use the analogy that young drivers are given 2 bags, a full bag of luck and an empty bag of experience. And the trick is that they fill the bag of experience before the luck runs out. And the more experience we can give them in a wider variety of scenarios as we're teaching them to drive has to pay dividends in the long run.
And increasingly now, in your driving log, you have to fill out what sort of driving conditions you were in. So was it nighttime? Was it wet? Was it gravel? And that all goes into your logbook. But is anybody actually checking that logbook to see that check for that diversity of experience?
They do when you go to get your licence, and from December, your 80 logbook hours on your L1s will have to include 15 hours at night.
I've got to say, one of the issues I've got, and Alan Rourke's our guest this morning, driving instructor. One of the issues I have, Alan, is with so much now, the old dials that used to run your aircon, heating, radio are all being replaced by computer screens that require much more intensive concentration to make them off, operate and switch between menus. I think in that sense, we're making cars more dangerous rather than less so.
I'd agree. There's no doubt about that. I like the fact that a lot of things have thumb controls on the steering wheel. So when your hands are at 9 and 3, it's just very ergonomic just to slide your thumbs over to adjust the radio up and down, etc., those sort of things. But, yeah, technology, while it can be a great asset, it can also be a huge detriment, particularly to young drivers, you know, who are growing up looking at iPads and mobile phones and getting used to that so that they're always looking for the screen.
What answers have you got, Alan Rourke, about dealing with that confidence and bravado, that, you know, what's in the bag of luck that you talked about earlier with the younger driver?
Exactly. One of the problems for younger drivers is that they under-recognise hazards and quite often overestimate their ability to deal with those hazards, you know, whether it be a rainy road, all those sort of things. And now they're bringing in from December the hazard perception test as part of your licence so that people will recognise hazards a lot more as they're driving throughout their driving career.
On Mornings Around Tasmania, so what's that test actually going to look like, the hazard perception test?
I haven't actually seen it as yet, so I'm keen to go along and check it out myself.
God, it can't help that there's all these movies at the moment celebrating drifting and, you know, all these new sorts of crazy risk-taking skills that I think a lot of young people, boys particularly, think they can, you know, think that they're all over when they get their first car. Alan, how important can those sorts of drive awareness programs be for young people?
I've been involved with the Rotary program in the past, and it really is a great program. It brings a lot of knowledge and a lot of other experiences to the table. The only downside of it is, of course, if you've got 200 or 300 students turning up on a day, there is not the capability to actually put them in a car as driving. But a great program nonetheless. It's certainly very educational.
Alan, great to talk to you this morning. Thank you for being part of Mornings on your local ABC. Alan Rourke.